On this Thanksgiving weekend, it is our pleasure and our annual tradition to bring you conversations from this year with people who have inspired us, and there are many of them, who bring to the community and to all of us the very best they have to offer. So, welcome to this year's annual Thanksgiving special.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Here we are, my friend, on this beautiful Thanksgiving weekend. Hope yours has been enjoyable, that you've had opportunity to gather with family and friends. Maybe you've been out sharing the goodness in your life with others. Lots of ways that people do that. Whether it's providing meals for those who otherwise would not, or for those who need a visitation. Maybe somebody that you know of, a family member, a friend, someone in your neighborhood, where you can share the blessings of God in your life as an extension of the way in which we like to care for one another. I mean, there's a characteristic in Tallahassee that I've experienced all these now 40-plus years. Back in 1978, I arrived in August as a PhD student at Florida State University School of Sociology and Psychology. And spent many, many hours there in the Bellamy building alone in the dark trying to figure out how to get through graduate school. And in that time, my wife and I met, fell in love, got married then 4 years later, 1982. Hit the ground running, had our children, all four of them, over the next number of years. Now all of them adults and carrying on in the fine tradition of our family by bringing to the world the good things that they've been given. And it's a honor, honestly. It's a pleasure to be able to say that these four people do their very best to bless other folks. And they're all talented, gifted, insightful, caring people in their own manner, in their own way, each of them and their partners having opportunity to bring some bit of encouragement to the world, some bit of light, maybe some entertainment, maybe services of various kinds, as is customary for all of us, finding out what it is that we do best. You know, maybe that's an ongoing question. Maybe we've never really quite found the answer for that. Nor should we, perhaps. Just keep taking it one day at a time. Find out where that need is, and maybe you're that person that can step in and, if not be the solution, be part of the solution. That's kind of how this broadcast first began many years ago. We're now, in finishing up our 11th season. We'll be celebrating again in February next year. We started in 2011. And with that, we give thanks for the many people who have made that happen for us. And we're hopeful that you continue to stay with us in whatever time and whatever opportunity we have up ahead as this show dedicated to the goodness that is Tallahassee. You know, when we found ourselves with the opportunity, thanks to my friend Barry Kay, who at the time was running operations over there at 97.9, the old ESPN sports radio station, called me up one day and said, "Hey, I really think you ought to come do some work with us. I need a guy who can do a community affairs broadcast." Well, okay. Had not really been on the radar at that time. Plenty of other things keeping me busy. Not to mention the four offspring that I mentioned earlier. You know, people have things to do. But this was something that hit a chord with me Many years earlier, I had spent working in and around advertising and radio broadcasting, ran a radio station for many years. So, you know, I was not unfamiliar, had done some radio production, had a broadcast that I called Family Alive back in the day, early 80s. All kinds of background there to draw from. But it occurred to us, and I say us because Carl was definitely right there with me in this. Frankly, if we're giving thanks, this broadcast would not exist were it not for that man. He has been stalwart in his devotion and his insight and his technical skills and his ability to, you know, work with. It's like a MacGyver experiment. He takes whatever he has in his hands and he makes it work. And it is a marvelous thing. Well, the two of us talked, as well as the rest of our team, my wife and others. And so it happened that we began this intention, this broadcast that is dedicated to the idea that if you and I are out somewhere having conversation, maybe getting lunch or coffee or something, well, there's never a script that guides that conversation, at least not in normal terms. It's not an interview, right? It's not a Q&A. This is about two people getting to know each other and sharing the things with one another that are significant and that are worth caring about from whatever perspective and whatever the topic. And so it happens. That's been our devotion. And you're going to find that in today's show. We've taken some of those conversations that we've had through the year, from the beginning of the year up into recent weeks. So with that, you'll find that we are celebrating the various ways in which this community brings good to the world. We certainly intend to bring good to one another in so many of these efforts. And I have this notion that even though you personally may not be involved with the given topic or the activity, the project, you and I are still a part of it because we're connected to this town. We are connected to the people that make up what is Tallahassee. Now, we don't have a seaport or a mountain range or a river system. And as a small town, our best asset is our citizens, our people, that contribution that we bring. It's in the people who help identify the greatest good for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time. And that's been our mantra over the last number of years, where we say, how can we better care for each other, entertain each other more effectively with uplifting performances? If you didn't get to do this Sunday, this last Sunday, Tallahassee Community Chorus, once again, holding forth. What a fantastic, fantastic performance. They're going to do another one coming up December 2nd. That'll be at Trinity United Methodist Church downtown for the Christmas holiday. This is Tallahassee. This is the kind of stuff that we love and we love to bring to you. So I've got Valerie Schoon, filmmaker over there at Florida State University in the School of Film, documentarian as she is, talking about her award-winning documentary dealing with Tallahassee's history, Leon County specifically, and the role of slavery, slave labor, in our development as a community. Christian Dozier, again, someone that we're thankful for and that encouraged us to be thankful in her conversation with us as she was considering her run for office, mayor of Tallahassee. Tom Flanagan, you can never say too many superlatives about Tom. Well, he was with us then back in August or early September. And we looked then at where Tallahassee is today. How about Sue Semerow? Sue talking about her career as an award-winning coach, one of the winningest coaches. And then, of course, Lakita, Rory Sharrock. Wow, there's an inspiring story. And I've got Curtis Hooks, who will tell us about his work with the fact that they are devoted to remembering veterans who have been lost with this Wreaths Across America. They place wreaths at all of these cemeteries. It's a great time, and it's a great weekend, and we're glad that you're a part of it. Remember that we are here for you throughout the week. We broadcast Saturday mornings bright and early over there at 93.3 at 7 o'clock. And then we're on Moose Magnificat at 9 Saturdays, and then Sunday afternoon at 3, Wednesday afternoon at 5:30. Inviting you to stay with us through this entire broadcast today as we present to you our Thanksgiving special for 2022. Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, hide it now. We're back. We're talking with Valerie Schoon, this film that has been around now for a little while, but a lot of us are just now beginning to discover Invisible History, thanks in part to the city of Tallahassee that took it upon themselves to show the film publicly a week ago Friday. It is a chronicling of, is that the right word? It is a chronology of, or a story about, slavery in the formation of North and what has been referred to as Middle Florida, particularly Leon County. In my recollection, I think it's the census of 1860 that records 75% of the population. I think you said 9,000 people were enslaved. So one in four, one person owned three others. Is that how that works? On average. So if that's the case, slavery was certainly central to the economy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, you know, if those, if what you just said, I mean, certainly sometimes some one person owned many and some people owned none.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't think it was like evenly.
Yeah, the math isn't necessarily.
It wasn't evenly distributed, you know, so many people had no slaves.
But at least a quarter of the population.
The point is that
there's
a percentage of the population that was enslaved.
Yeah. And in that capacity, when you. When you came to that point, you had done this sort of, I guess you'd call it personal research and starting to pull together ideas and talking with various people. Do you remember a point at which you said, let's do this?
I don't think that movies work that way. You know what I mean? You know, I think that it's really, I mean, the minute you start to reach for the first person to sort of to run up the flagpole, you are doing it. Do you know what I mean? You are doing it. It's just whether you can take it all the way to the finish line, you know what I mean, is sort of the issue. You know, so I think that I think money has a little bit to do with it too. So I mean, I think I was trying, we, you know, had to apply for a grant. You know what I mean? So part of it was, can I get a partner who's interested? Yes. Can we fill out a grant? Yes. Can we wait a year to see if we get the money? Yes. You know, and then when we got the money, then you're like, okay, I could do it, because in the meantime, I had already talked to different people to sort of see if they would allow me to interview them.
And is that a creative process that you replicate? That's how it goes, pretty much?
That's pretty much how it goes. Yeah. And that's how it goes in Hollywood, too. I mean, you have an idea, but you still have to sort of sell it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why somebody will get up to get the Oscars and say, this took me 20 years to do it. I mean, because part of it is
they have a lot of people to thank.
In your mind, it was a go. But right. Unless you're spending your own personal funds, you know, it may not really be a go until you get the funds. So in my mind, it was a go, provided I could, you know, get the people to work on it.
Now that you know more about our history, has it changed you in some way when you look at Tallahassee today?
I don't know if it's changed. I mean, I think I feel in a maybe in a funny way like more of Tallahassee. You know, like maybe I felt like a transplant before, but now that I actually understand the history, I feel like, oh, I'm less of a visitor. You know, I'm more like I actually do know. And I think that one of the things I noticed is that, of course, many people know the history that's in invisible history. And when I would talk to somebody who's generationally from here, they understood it perfectly well. You know what I mean? And as you can see from some of the people who I interview in the documentary, they are generationally from here.
Indeed.
And so they're aware of this history. It's just that it doesn't necessarily, not something we're going to talk about on a daily basis. So I didn't realize that we had different understandings of Tallahassee. Do you know what I mean?
Indeed.
Until I realized how shallow my own information was. And so now that I know more, you know, I feel like, I understand. I feel maybe a better sense of like, understanding the history, I think, helps me feel have a little bit more of a sense of belonging.
Yeah, yeah. Professionally, you've received a number of accolades, most notably the Emmy Award from Suncoast Regional. Among your colleagues, among others, has it generally been well received, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, my colleagues were you know, partners with me on the documentary. I mean, I basically, you know, Mark Vargo, who teaches at the film school, is my cinematographer. We, you know, alums worked on it. You know, so other people in the film school certainly rallied around. And I've had a lot of support from the dean of the film school, the College of Motion Picture Arts, from, you know, so I couldn't have done it without the support of my FSU film school.
I've heard you
family.
Say that that this film particularly, and maybe it's true of all of your work, doesn't necessarily have a point that you're trying to make outside of simply presenting the facts as you know them, right? It's it's not trying to drive home some objective that's external.
I was really just trying to share my journey of what I came to understand from talking to these people. And I feel like people can draw their own conclusions from what, you know, but I also, I think a goal of Teresa and mine was to just sort of present something for which people could have conversation around. Do you know what I mean? That people, that it would be such a thing that people could talk about what they saw. Do you know what I mean? And that, So, I mean, I think that is not, it's not, and I didn't want it to, I wanted to be reflective of these historians and these other community members and what they perceive about the history. Again, I think that one goal was certainly to say, oh, there were enslaved people here.
Right, right.
And I want to talk about what that was, because I was so ignorant about it. I wanted to make sure that I talked about that, you know, and then there's the question of why are we talking about this? And so, you know, part of that came from, you know, talking to people like Dr. Brickler, you know, filling in the history of his lived experience of Jim Crow. And I think, as you know, Dr. Brickler is an obstetrician who's retired. But I think he told me that he delivered 30,000 babies, 30,000. And, you know, that's a huge...
Astounding.
Right. It's just, it's like beyond like comprehension.
And his son, in his footsteps, is right in there, who has as well contributed to our welfare as a community by bringing this exhibit annually. He brings the Red Tail exhibit.
Tuskegee Airmen. So I, for me, it was just, you know, an opportunity to hear his lived experience of Tallahassee.
It happened that he was on the show talking about the Tuskegee Airmen, and he teared up, and he's talking about hoping that he would give younger people an example of what they could do, that they can do more. Maybe there's more for us to learn, as you have learned.
I think that would be a nice outcome. I mean, for whatever, wherever people live, you know what I mean? I think it's something that, you know, wherever that might be,
right?
You know, looking at the history and even beyond, as I said, of course, this history did not start in 1821, you know, so looking, you know, even earlier into what was going on with, Native Americans and Seminoles, or whatever region you're from, you know, I don't know where it would be, Oregon or what have you.
Right.
But I think that the idea of truly understanding how your community came to be, you know, is a value for people to sort of discuss. Because I think that the, however your community came to be, you know, whether you look at it or not, you're not, the influences are still there.
Folks, we're talking with filmmaker Valerie Schoon, and you are in touch with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Wood and Glass has been taking care of families since 1945.
Experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wood and Glass, and they provide precise installation.
Wood and Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass. Online at woodandglass.com. Call 850-222-5781.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln affirms his faith in God, issuing a proclamation and officially declaring the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, join with us in prayer for our great nation. From Wood and Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee, call 222-5781.
Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Nasheed Madyun. I love saying that name. That's a great name.
Thank you.
It's has a kind of elegance to it. You know, it kind of rolls off the tongue, but okay, enough of it. You've inspired me in this brief moment here with this conversation to think in a much broader way. You know, I tend to be ground level. I'm down here and you're saying, okay, come up out of that ditch for a minute. Stand back with me on this bluff and look across the plains, look across the horizon. But isn't that where having a dream rests? I mean, we're able to imagine what can be. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have to somehow unfetter ourselves. We have to shake off. At a time when your ambition to get people to talk with one another and engage one another is at an all-time high, we have to do that.
Yeah. It's a remarkable blend of serendipity, the skills and talents of people to open doors and spark conversation. There are those who can listen, but there are also the environments where the two people who do not agree, maybe they don't even like each other or their families didn't like each other or however, but now they can come together and listen and have a conversation. Dialogue is what built this country, the policies that run our country, the conflicts of change, the result of either disagreements or agreements. And, you know, we have the opportunity to bring those to the forefront, because change and progress cannot happen unless we have those difficult, sensitive conversations. And those conversations are not always about race. Race is important. Racism is important. But we now have to look at gender, youth, all levels of equality, economic disparities, health disparities. And there are some difficult conversations that we must have. Stories help tell that. And so when you were in that ditch, you know, toiling away because that's what you're supposed to do from Monday to Friday to earn that check so that, you know, the family has that great that great soup on the table. You know, that's a part of a bigger tapestry. You know, what you do in your leisure when you come out that ditch, right? The tributaries, the canals, the pathways, the runoffs from the highway that you're contributing to is probably contributing to the economic transportation of that community. The railroad tracks that were laid down, the stores that will eventually pop up, the buildings that can now come here, the traffic and thoroughfares to school and back and forth. Mm-hmm. All of that happens because you are diligent and you're a small part of that. So yeah, coming out of that ditch to see the contribution you made to the American promise is what's happening.
And that's really the mission. I'm reading from your website, Florida Humanities, to preserve, promote, and share the history, literature, culture, and personal stories that offer Floridians a better understanding of themselves, their communities, and their state. It has been said on this show more often than not, and I've said it myself, Tallahassee doesn't really know who she is. My characterization of that is to say that Tallahassee is like an adolescent girl.
Wow.
She's been told all of her life up until now how to dress, who to talk to, who not to talk to, what to think, where to go, where not to go. And she's beginning to push back on some of those ideas. And like all adolescents faced with the challenge, who am I? What do I really believe? And that's painful, isn't it? I mean, for any one of us, but for a community.
Well, using that metaphor, that means we know that as that child became a preteen to a teenager and seeks to become an adult, there's a transition period. There's a period where absorbing knowledge, learning that the 10 and 20 and 30 years of your family believing one way may not be the way you believe, and you need to consider, well, that young lady now needs to consider whether she wants to remain a part of XYZ religion, or she wants to remain a Democrat or Republican. Yeah. And also, what type of mother would she be if she decides to be?
Yeah.
And so now it's time to consider how I am going to, as a young lady, contribute to society.
Yeah.
Or will I stay in Tallahassee? Tallahassee, a good comparison would be Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, a Democratic city that sits within a Republican stronghold.
Yeah.
Little Rock, Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
A lot of these
Tallahassee,
major,
Florida.
Yeah, a lot of these major cities like Tallahassee has had the opportunity to take a good look at their identity and their way forward.
Right.
But now we're within that change because so much has happened. So much has happened with the pandemic.
Right.
Political debate, legislation, you know, that's going on right now and during the session. So I agree with you, Brian. Tallahassee is
in transition.
Somewhere.
Yeah, we sure are. From your point of view, we know that we'll call it storytelling, okay, is a wonderful and vital way forward in helping us. What are the impediments that you come across or that you have in your mind? What stops us?
The first obstacle to any story is allowing the antagonist and the protagonist to accept a role in a story. Not all the bad guys want to be the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that means someone needs to accept that their way of doing things is not the right way of doing it. I mean, you've been wrong. So a dynamic character is the character that changes. And we know any movie, any story that you hear, if somebody changes for the better, then the story becomes richer. You love that story. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity to help people who are telling the stories identify the change agents. Yes. But also, if the change that needs to occur is in you, meaning if I need to change,
yes,
I need to be a part of a form or environment like this that allows me to be enlightened, like you were talking
about.
We're
going to get to that in our next segment here, because you have been, of late, very helpful with all of us hosting this forum. And we're going to talk about that. And remind me the title of that particular presentation. It was an online event.
Yes. In partnership with the Village Square, Florida Humanities was able to host a discussion or conversation with Dr. Theodore R. Johnson, When Stars Began to Fall, based off of the book that he recently published.
We're going to get to that here in just a minute. Folks, you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I've got Dr. Nasheed Majoun with us today as a guest, learning a lot about Florida Humanities as an organization, and more so, I think we're learning a lot about this man and just how big his heart is. You stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205. Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special. We're back. We're talking with Christian Dozier. She is commissioner for District 5, Leon County, has served faithfully all these many years. Mayor Daley sent his regards, and he said, the question is, do we move forward cleaning up politics in our city, or do we turn back the clock on ethics reform? Do we want a mayor who consistently says yes to good, high-paying jobs, or one who always seems to have an excuse for voting against investments in our community? That's what this race will be about. I think that last phrase was aimed at, I think you, in regard to always seeming to have some reason why you vote against good, high-paying jobs, according to Mayor Daley.
You know, that is what he says, but he has never explained a comment like that. I'm pretty astonished by it. I was astonished when I read it 2 weeks ago, and just listening to you read it again. John Daley and I have served together for 12 years, 8 on the county commission, and the last 4 as he
since
like he's been
good
mayor.
Friends.
Well,
or
you
at
know,
least working colleagues.
Yes, we were certainly working colleagues. Again, a lot of us have asked the question, "What happened in the last 4 years?" Because this is a very different mentality, a very different person than we saw on the county commission for the 8 years, my 8 years prior, and then he had, you know, served a bit longer. So when he says, I consistently vote against good paying jobs, I have no idea what exactly he's talking about. Mm. We have both supported Danfoss, Amazon, other incentives. I've worked for 8 years, as I've said, on the incubator at Innovation Park, which is under construction now. Mm. I have been the biggest advocate for workforce training and job creation on our Blueprint OEV board for years. I think it's fair to say, and a lot of people in the entrepreneurial space and in the economic development space will say, that I do more homework and I show up at more of those meetings and do the deep work. So this statement, you can take it as political spin. You can take it as just dishonest, because I don't think he has ever given us the details of what he means by this statement. Okay. Now, two things, my speculation. One, and all appreciation and respect to Commissioner Matlow, John Daly has tried to push me towards where Commissioner Matlow is a lot. Matlow and I both know that we don't always agree. We both supported Amazon. I think he voted for Amazon, for example. So even, but some developments and other things like that, I will support them and he may not. So there, we don't line up entirely on votes. I'm going to get back to this in a second, but the block voting that we've seen in recent years is something totally new. I never experienced that for my first 8 years on the county commissioner blueprint. But so John has been trying to paint this picture that does not stand up to scrutiny at all. And the only thing that he rests on, this is where it comes to, Brian, is he says that I didn't support all these jobs because I voted against the bond that included Doak Campbell Stadium.
Right.
I was working hard to pull that funding out so we could create more jobs. What they did actually cost us thousands of jobs. So anyone hearing statements like that, I hope they look at the facts, because they will paint an entirely different picture.
It is an interesting circumstance in which all of you serving on the city commission, that is to say all of the city commissioners, not including you, but have for themselves been squared off on a lot of those sort of issues, where it was a kind of 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. And I wonder too if that is going to change any further unless there's a change in the mayor of Tallahassee.
That is the question for the next 8 weeks. I think for every voter in Tallahassee, do we want to see another 4 years of gridlock and divisiveness and conflicts and controversy at the city commission? Do we want to continue to see no movement on improving transparency or fiscal responsibility within city government? Because that's what we've had the last 4 years.
Right. Well, Diane Williams-Cox is going to be back. She's going to continue. So Matlow's going to continue. So none of that changes.
None of the other four stay the same.
The only remaining variable would be the mayorship.
Right. Yeah. And for the way I have served this community over the last 12 years, I have never lined up with any block of votes. I'm on Team Tallahassee, if you will. Now you're going to tell me that's a little Hallmarkish as well, but that's okay. I may agree with where Commissioner Williams-Cox and Richardson are sometimes. I may agree with where Commissioners Porter and Matlow are sometimes. But there's also difference of opinion among those four. The real change is a leader in the mayor's office. The mayor has one vote, just like everyone else on the board. But you are the board chair. You have to lead in a way that brings people together, that doesn't create and stoke controversy, that opens City Hall to the public, again, making efficient, good decisions that don't last too long, but really bringing people together. And John Daly has proven that he cannot do that and is unwilling to do that. Now, I, quite frankly, have upset people, I mean, if you want to say it politically, on the left and the right, but really different constituents over time. I mean, quite frankly.
You've pissed everybody off.
Well, you know, I've also made people happy a lot of times,
too,
you know.
I'm very good at that.
That may sound a little odd, but we'll take development and our comp plan and large development and expansion. There was a vote this spring that to expand the urban service area for three different developments. And there was some assumption that I would vote against that proposal. Well, it's in line with our rules. It's a legal process. Mm-hmm. And there was no legal justification that I could see to deny that. Now, we can say we don't like the developer. Some did. I did not say that. We could say we want more affordable housing, other things. Those are other policy decisions.
Right.
When you apply for a building permit, when you apply for a zoning change, you should have the confidence that you're going to be judged based on the rules we have at that time. Mm-hmm. We can talk about those rules.
So you're looking at...
So it's a fair process.
Yeah, the merits of that movement at that time on its own face.
And there is a way to grow in a responsible, smart, and environmentally sensitive way. We can do that. And we do need to tweak some of our rules. Absolutely. I've been advocating for that for years. Mm. We need to make sure, for example, city permitting process is more efficient. It costs owners and contractors a lot of money waiting for the permits. But we also need to make sure that you can use sustainable building products, that it costs you more perhaps to take out trees than to save them in some circumstances. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more we can do on the process to make it more efficient and preserve the quality of life we have and still allow good development to happen in our community because we do need more housing.
Folks, we have had this opportunity today because Commissioner Dozier is kind enough to try to carve off a slice of her very busy day and bringing to us news of the hour in regard to her bid for the mayorship of Tallahassee. As all of us are well aware, I hope at this point, it is a close race. I don't think we'll expect it to be anything less. At the same time, I'm hoping that we'll all do a little better job, perhaps, at least work a little bit harder to try to understand where these two candidates are on so many different topics, including the distribution of resources and this process that we keep talking about. Mm-hmm. How is it that decisions are made? Commissioner Christian Dozier, thank you.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's always a joy to be here.
Generous gift to give us this much of your time. Folks, you're listening to Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving Special. Stay with us.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special. I will try not to sing out of key. Folks, we're back and we're talking with Captain Wayne Hooks, this guy who has for his many years been involved in some fashion, a kind of public service, we'd say, particularly Civil Air Patrol. I've been with them for 10 years as a volunteer. And Wayne, it's a pleasure to get to talk with somebody who is motivated in the fashion that you are, and by just by listening to you talk, your own personal history, your father's and mother's military background, and those things that were given to you as a child that have remained pretty strong, and then passing that along with your own son. You said earlier, you know, where it's really more about how well we serve others rather than how well we serve ourselves. It happens to me, I think, it occurs to me, I should say, that this notion of freedom and liberty, we've just come through celebrating July 4th, and then the question, it seems to me, is for what? What is, for what? Why was it worth fighting and dying for freedom from tyranny? How is that any less true now when we are fighting for those things that empower us, really, and certainly entrust us with opportunity? And then the next question is, to do what? Opportunities to serve one another, to bring more good to the world. To figure out how we can all work together, which you do, with this organization, Abel, how much better can we bring solutions? How much more can we offer? One of the things that I find interesting about Civil Air Patrol is that adaptation to the landscape over time. Because in your initial days as an organization, this goes back, you know, World War II, you guys were tasked with carrying out what otherwise are just military operations. I mean, you were doing surveillance, right? Reconnaissance, right?
Correct.
All along the East Coast and the West Coast, or I guess the Gulf. Right. You're looking for submarines, if I'm going to... Tell us more about how that all worked in the early days.
The bricks were being laid in 1937 when Gil Rob Wilson started trying to figure out how to keep American flyers flying.
Okay, so
if they weren't wearing a uniform.
He was the principal founder of this.
He really was. He at that time, and the organization still exists to this day, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or what they all lovingly refer to as AOPA.
Okay.
he was the president of it at that time.
I see.
And he to him, the handwriting was on the wall because, you know, even in 1937, Hitler was making noise.
I mean,
he was trying to get a party up and
if you didn't see it, it's because you didn't want to see it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so come along 1941, when it was getting really hard for civilian flyers to fly at all because everything was going to the war effort. Mm-hmm. I've told this story many times before. He loaded up with a bunch of flour and overflew all the substations for electricity on the East Coast as far as his plane could go, and dropped bags of flour on them and called them the next day and said, check your facility, you've been bombed. And that was the final motivation needed for the government
to
take action.
The ultimate wake-up call.
That was the one, because if that had been a bomb.
Your hindquarters are hanging out there in the wind.
There you go.
You think you're all safe and tucked away. Guess what?
There you go. And so we got signed into being in 1941. We fell under the Department of Civil Defense that Mayor LaGuardia was in charge of at that time. And we were the sub hunters. You know, it's the movie 1941 was all centered around people panicking because there was a Japanese submarine off the coast of California. The movie cast was, well, it was no threat because it was broken down. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, submarines off the U.S. coast at the beginning of World War II was a thing. And it was, they wreaked havoc on our shipping channels, and we needed some because we couldn't get goods in and out of the United States because they'd go sink the ship. And so the Civil Air Patrol, that was their job, was to go up and find them. And they started out as merely reconnaissance. And then One day, a crew almost got arrested by the Mexican army because they had to stop off in Mexico and get fuel because they'd flown so long over a German submarine that was stuck on a sandbar, and the Navy never came. Uh-oh. And so they flew as long as they could fly. I mean, the tide came in, the submarine got off the sandbar, was headed out to sea, and they had to turn around and come back. And they, of course, you know, they've gone into another sovereign country.
Right.
And for no good, I mean, they were businessmen, they did business there.
Right.
But that's not what they were doing that day. They were getting gas. And that's what saved them, was people they did business with recognized their plane coming in. And they got back to Mississippi, and that's the day we started dropping bombs. We decided that, okay, if we're going to do this,
for somebody else
we
got to
have a way
up.
To do this.
Yeah.
And our bomb sites were very sophisticated. Hmm. I don't know if you know much about the Norton bomb site that was in the B-17 and the B-29, but it won't fit in a Piper cup.
Hmm.
So they created their own bomb site, which consisted of a bean can, with a couple of clothespins on it for crosshairs, and a piece of string for windage. And the poor guy in the right seat would lean out the window with his bean can and use that to sight on the submarine.
Wow.
And hand drop a 2-pound bomb.
Oh, my gosh.
And try to sink the submarine. And, I mean, I've got people telling me that, well, the Germans say all their submarines are accounted for. Well, but I've got newsreel footage from an old Paul Harvey piece talking about a Civil Air Patrol airman who sank a submarine. And we've got the newsreel footage of him dropping the bomb.
Wow.
And so I would submit to you that sunk is accountability. You've been accounted for. You're at the bottom of the sea. So, yeah, we say we sunk too, and so far I've not found anything in my research to say different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did, and then we came out of the war.
I would imagine that the threat of that happening had its own role in that, knowing that you guys were now armed and dangerous, maybe that helped to thwart further efforts, but at least to put everybody on notice.
Well, there's in some of our history, because we actually have a little museum at Maxwell Air Force Base that talks about the Civil Air Patrol's history. There's actually a quote in there attributed to a German submarine commander that says a lot of the reason they quit coming to the U.S. coast were those stupid little red and yellow airplanes.
See?
And we'll take
that. Stupid. Yeah, that's us. Stupid
that would
enough
be us.
To try. Exactly.
So, we'll do that. So, and then in 1948, you know, foreign intervention was not really a threat. And so we sat down with the Department of the Army because it, you know, the Air Force was still the Army Air Corps then.
Sure, sure.
Figured out what we were going to do, got Harry Truman to sign it, and, well, then our bomb dropping days were over, and we started doing more of the things that we do
the
now.
The mission changed, but the heart remained the same, it seems to me. Civil Air Patrol, it's called. We've got Captain Wayne Hooks doing a good job of helping us better appreciate the significance of this organization, all to do with Americans' well-being and those around the world, our allies and various nations. This is the work of Civil Air Patrol, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes, with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. professional designers, and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstyle.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special. Folks, we've got Tom Flanagan with us here on this beautiful After the Show show. Wait a minute. That's not our show. That's another show. This is a guy who, for his part, has made it his business to better report and even further to better understand what's going on. And when it comes to local politics, man, you've got to be running some kind of marathon to keep up with the latest. But now you've got some post facto data from having come on this side of the primary. What do you know?
What I know is that you can't make a direct analog or connection, Brian, between what's going on with national politics, which is very, very much D's versus R's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and bring that into what's been happening here with the Tallahassee City Commission, the Leon County Board of County Commissioners, and the Leon County School Board, which were those big races that we just got through voting in the primary, because they are all nonpartisan.
Yeah.
Now, you can say, oh, yeah, okay, both Jeremy Matlow and Dr. David Bellamy are registered Democrats. Okay, and maybe each one has a different take on their home party situation, but it is not as blatant as what you would see on the national level.
Yeah.
However, we do have some fault lines that are there between a more conservative, pro-growth sort of philosophy and a no, let's hold the line on that, let the capitalists take care of themselves, and we'll use our local government to kind of even the playing field for those at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum. So you got that playing. But now we also have, and this is totally due to the incredible research and reporting of our news director, Lynn Hatter, where she did a great analysis that she just came out with as we're talking today on the influence of some other forces in this whole situation, one being the Grow Tallahassee folks, which, as the name would imply, are very much pro-development. Let's bring in companies, whether it's a big Amazon warehouse like we have out around DeVoe Moore's place now, or you know, some more luxury student housing developments around the universities or those sorts of things. And you've also got the Our Tallahassee group, which is kind of more pushed, I think, by the more progressive wing of Democrats in town.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are saying, no, no, we need more, certainly, economic equity. We need to level that playing field, as we just indicated. And that was a lot of the behind-the-scenes impetus for what we saw in the election.
The more charitable view of the Grow Tallahassee perspective might embrace the idea that we're talking trickle-down economics. Those like Commissioner Matlow would see that and say, no, this is favoritism, and this is those interests looking out for their own interests. They're not trying to grow the community. They're trying to grow their own pocketbook. I had an experience not long after the vote was given or taken for the Doak Campbell Stadium improvements, $27 million, talking with a local business owner, a guy who has a shoe repair business over on the southwest side of town. Curiously enough, one of the city commissioners was ahead of me in line, fortuitous moment. And we greeted each other. We know each other, like each other. Didn't say much at all beyond that. He left, and I looked at the business owner, and I said, so what do you think of this whole Doak Campbell Stadium doling of money? He said, oh, I'm all in favor of it. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's good for business.
And that makes a lot of sense from the multiplier effect that we hear constantly from not just Sue Dick and the folks at the Chamber of Commerce, but you get into any economic development group of folks and they will say, all right, a dollar spent here is going to trickle down, if you will, but it will have a multiplier effect throughout the entire community. And you see it. I mean, we have a big problem here, Brian. We are growing. You go to many parts of this nation right now, and they're constricting. You have downtowns that are essentially drying up and on the verge of blowing away. What business was there has already left, and there's nothing coming in to replace it. We certainly have that issue with state government, which is much less robust, shall we say, today than it was 15, 25 years ago. But you do have developers coming in. They're spending money with construction companies. The stuff goes up. Maybe you have some permanent employment connected with property management and maintenance and those sorts of things. Not a great deal, certainly, but some. But that has a multiplier effect. So this back and forth, what is the, I guess, middle ground that everybody could, if not being delighted with, could at least live with? I don't think we've found that yet.
I wonder if, in fact, the money since the Doak vote became this sort of symbolic moment as well as it is anything else, if in fact there could have been, and this was Dr. Bellamy's argument. He says, you know, I wasn't in favor of it, but I would have worked to find a better outcome, a better solution. Well, maybe that outcome could have been better delivered if it were less than the total amount that was awarded, and if those funds then were earmarked for some of these other more direct kinds of solutions. Because I think for those people who look at it and go, yeah, but you don't even have public transportation in some of these neighborhoods. You don't have grocery stores. You don't even have sidewalks. So it's the glaring sort of disassociation with, as if somehow, well, yeah, we've got a poverty problem. Well, Matlow was quick to say, no, we don't have a housing problem or a poverty problem. We have a people problem. So that's where I'm wondering if the community as such, because we're really talking about what we have all become in our own minds, what we find important. And this one business owner said, well, yeah, it's good for business. And I said, well, is it good for your business? Is somebody going to come to a football game and then come over here and get their shoes repaired? And I think your point is, well, those who argue, yeah, maybe not, but he's going to benefit because everybody's going to benefit, the rising tide.
Yeah, but you also conversely can look right down the street from Doak Campbell Stadium, say Stuckey Avenue, and there's a small house there that the roof is on the verge of collapsing, and that family does not have the wherewithal to do the necessary repairs, and the matriarch of the household is working three jobs, and you know she needs help.
Yeah.
And what is the community's responsibility, if any, to intervene and say, look, we can do something for you?
Yeah. My concern, Tom, honestly, it's the next 5 years. It's the next 10 years. God help us if you and I are sitting here 5 years from now, if he'll let us remain that long, and having that same conversation, high crime in the 04, or poverty, according to the sheriff, being the root for all of that crime. Isn't that a conversation we've had for too long?
It's a conversation, Brian, we've been having now as long as I've been here, and that's going back more than 44 years right now.
Yeah. Folks, Tom Flanagan is with us. I hope that you're taking notes because he's got a lot of important points to make. You stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best.
like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln affirms his faith in God, issuing a proclamation and officially declaring the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, join with us in prayer for our great nation from Widden Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee. Call 222-5781.
Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special. We're talking with Sue Semerow. My summation here would be the winningest Florida State women's basketball coach ever. Is that right?
I was here a long time.
You were like...
I started when I was 12. Come on now.
And, you know, basketball, women's basketball particularly, in these days, has reached some notable heights, and professional basketball for women is now, I think, better recognized, like it should be, we would say. You follow the pros pretty closely?
I follow the way that they play, but I mainly follow the people that I love. And it, I think that's the way it is. I've got a couple players that are a part of the New York Liberty right now, and Natasha Howard and Ronika Hodges, who is an assistant coach there now, which is a lot of fun. So, you know,
so there's a personal connection for you there.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, my family is still a Seattle Storm fans because, you know, they live there. But, you know, when Natasha got traded to New York, I very quickly became a Liberty fan.
So they're looking at you like, man, you're such a traitor.
I know, right?
Carl, what do you think about that? I mean, Carl's a big Seattle fan, you know.
Yes.
He loves all of those guys.
And I love that too, but my Seahawks flag's flying, I tell you.
Okay, well there's a redemptive comment.
Yeah, that's right.
He's back in Carl's graces now. How do you feel about the Mariners? Come on.
I feel like free, what's it called? What is the thing that they, wild card.
Wild
I feel
card.
Wild card yeah. is imminent.
Thing. But you got to go to Chicago for the playoffs.
And that's one of the really nice things about being retired is now I can make time to do things that I really wouldn't have had time to do, or I would have made time and been just frantic trying to get in and out. And I was able to go up to Chicago. They played in the Liberty played Chicago in the, I believe it was the first round. And they, you know, just to be able to stay for two games.
Yeah.
It was, to be able to be with those, you know, young ladies, to be able to go up and visit Nikki Kamu, who is a former player of mine, her parents in Chicago, just because, not because I wanted something from them, not because I was recruiting her, but because we've formed such a great relationship over the years has been just, it was a blast. And you know, just being so proud of the young women that are doing what they're doing all over the country.
Yeah. The only other time I hear this spoken of is in business, where people work together for years with a certain organization. They go different directions or whatever, but they remain friends and at the very least colleagues and acquaintances. It happens, I think, when you talk about it now, because you have that liberty,
right.
You have that freedom, you have that opportunity. How is that different for you then? Is it life changing, would you say? Or
oh gosh,
is this
yes.
the second mountain that we're
yes,
now?
This is the climb of the second
I
mountain
see.
Right
oh,
now because, okay. and it's taken me a long time to see things a different way, to disassociate from the things that I used to have to do on a daily basis, the
yeah.
things that kept you running. It keeps you thinking in the future. And so, for example, last weekend I just drove up to Lake Blackshear with a friend and was able to just get a boat and go out and enjoy it. Well, as I'm driving back, I see a sign for Ashburn, Georgia.
Huh.
And one of my former players was from Ashburn. And in 2008, we all went through a tragic death of her. And Rinalda Pierce is her name. And I just love the way that her family handled that situation. She died of something called Marfan syndrome. And we've been in touch. They've been faithful to our program ever since. It was their last touch of Rinalda. And Jim Crosby here in town had dropped off a book that he wrote about her time at Florida State just the week prior. And he's been working on that book for years, and I had started reading it. It was in my car. So I picked up the phone and asked Linda Pierce. I said, "You guys just hanging around the house today?" And you bet we are. And you come on over. And so was able to go to her house that I recruited her in and spend time with the family. Her two aunts came over, her sister and her kids, and give Linda the book that Jim Crosby had written. Now, I have driven up South Georgia hundreds of times recruiting and seen that sign, knowing I did not have time to spend quality time with people that I love. And to be able to do that and just sit with them, they were getting ready to watch the WNBA game. They were so excited about it. They still have a wall in the living room with Rinalda's jersey and all of her Florida State
Golly.
Stuff. It is just blessed. It blessed me. And now I get to go and buy shoes, Florida State shoes, for Rinalda's sister's little boy instead of her brother. So it's just,
Gosh.
It's too cool what I get to do now.
In that respect, when you talk with people, and I know you do often, yearn for that kind of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They yearn for that kind of spontaneity and freedom. What do you tell them?
Hurry up to retirement.
Find a way.
You know, I haven't been able to put my finger on that yet because I think I tried for 35 years to understand work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
I tried so hard. You know, just even talking to Melanie as she was leaving your studio and knowing that there's so much to do. And I've learned that I want to live as a human being and not a human doing.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, is that hard if you're driven and the society tells you, you know, you got to get to the top of the tower. You got to build your tower. You got to get to the top of that mountain.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I hate to say that this generation and COVID might be getting it right because they just, I think they're calling it the silent retirement, but it's not, but it's young people who are choosing work-life balance over money and power. And Wow, what a great choice to make.
I see it evidenced in our family. You know, my wife and I have four adult offspring, all of them pursuing career options that are more about what they really want in life for themselves and for their partners, spouses. They find themselves, and I just talked with one of them yesterday. He's got a great job in the Atlanta area, but he's looking at other companies that would be more in line with his personal goals. Maybe that's because when you and I were kids, we were given that sort of moonshot approach. You've got to go from here to there, and failure is not an option. We're talking to Sue Semerow. You stay with me, folks.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205. Continuing now with our Tallahassee Talks Thanksgiving special. We're back. We're talking with Lakita and Rory Shirok, talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in October, talking about personal decisions you had to make along the way from the moment that you get this news delivered to your doorstep, so to speak.
Yeah.
Wow. Now what? I was going to ask either of you, or both of you earlier, whether you have siblings in your family. Rory, do you have brothers, sisters?
I have an older brother and an older sister. I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. And what about you?
I'm blessed to have five siblings.
And you are?
I'm number four. The best. Number four.
So both of you, if you, pardon me for being the family therapist here, but of you are kind of at that place in your constellation, family constellation, or the birth order, that you had several parents, right? Because I was the youngest in my family, and I have an older sibling, a sister, and I always tell people I had three parents because she was 7 years older than I am. So what's remarkable about that, I mean, I'm telling you this was my experience, may not have been yours, but the biggest challenge in my relationship with my wife was to learn that I am not the baby.
Right.
And I am not... it is not her responsibility to take care of me. And she is the oldest or among the oldest in her family with younger siblings. So that kind of worked for a while. And then there came a point at which I think she said, I'd like to try something else here. I want to do something different. And what we noticed was that we had a lot of friends of ours, couples, who were getting divorces about that time. They were in 20, 25, 30 years, maybe two or three kids, and they were splitting up. And what was just sort of tragic to me was that they were remarrying right back into the same kind of situations that they'd gotten out of, because nothing changed.
Right.
They were still working the same. So what changed for you? You know, you're cancer free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And look, then comes what? Now the dynamics have changed between you, the way you think of one another.
You know,
tell us about how that worked.
What changed for us? I think sometimes in life you got to have what you call like a paradigm shift, a huge shift to change your perspective. And for me as an individual, it was the cancer. It gave me a different perspective in life. For us as a couple, it was more of our mental health journey as a family. The things that we had to walk out as a couple in the healing process of our children and the hills and valleys that come with that. So with us, the fire lessons, the life just happening of all the things that we go through has drawn us not only closer to God as individuals, but it has drawn us closer to each other. We have gone through cancer journeys. We have gone, I have lost my mom. Mm-hmm. We have parents of three children who were diagnosed at separate times with, extreme mental health concerns and the different health and financial situations that people deal with in life. So that paradigm shift for us, and Rory, if I'm, I hope I'm getting it right, but for me, I could see it as being the mental health journey and just learning to not take things personal.
Would it have been the same? Would you have made those shifts in paradigm without cancer? Do you estimate? Or?
Not for me. Yeah. Not for me.
That was the impetus.
That was the thing, because my life has involved, like, I've been homeless. I've been, a thriver from so many different things, but the cancer is what's like the wake up sleeper cell.
Yeah.
Life is so much. It's like beautiful, a whole array of colors now compared to what it used to be.
With your life, Rory, you, basically living in Atlanta. You were a sports journalist in those days. You kind of knew the path that you were looking for. And then here comes Lakita.
Beautiful.
And did you have then this notion, okay, I'm going to have to change my priorities, alter my path, or those early days? And then comes, but talk about the early days with the two of you.
Well, there definitely was, it was a big, it's a lot to intake when you think about the cancer. And then this was my first marriage, and she had been married already. But it was we learned it's our first marriage together,
right?
Even though it's her second marriage overall.
Yeah.
But so learning to, there were certain things that I guess behavior that I had put aside, the need to run the streets, to go hanging out, being here, there. Yeah. I got that all out of my system in college and in my 20s. And when we met, I was 32. So at that point, okay, I'm done.
You had some business already put away.
Yeah. I'm done. The club scene, been there, done that. Yeah. Okay, I'm good. But there were also areas where there was the selfishness that was hard to shed as far as this is what I want out of my life.
Yeah.
This is what I want out of my career. Yeah. And learning to, okay, I may need to pause. And I've worked different jobs while still always holding on to the dream that I want to work in sports media.
Gotcha.
And then the shift, like what she said, the our mental health journey was something that was, it took a toll, but I learned through her and then just other experiences is that just to really pray more,
surrender
more, and it's still an evolutionary process.
Yeah. Certainly.
But where I'm at now is a lot different than where I used to be. But yeah, that really, in a nutshell, I have made some modifications, but now with us doing Chirac Media Group and really seeing with her being the visionary, mm-hmm. and really trying to grasp onto the vision and take it and run with it, mm-hmm. it's so much better.
You have as your platform then when you speak to people about mm-hmm. your battle with and yeah. your overcoming of breast cancer, what's the first thing you say?
Embrace. Embrace the diagnosis. Embrace the journey. And I'm a firm believer that healing is always available. Now, healing does not always come on the same side. Mm. I'm a firm believer that healing comes on both sides. Mm. Sometimes you get healing as a heaven on earth. Mm. And sometimes you get healing as a heaven blessing. Mm. But there's always healing. So embrace the journey.
Wherever it takes you.
Wherever it takes you.
Which is what you were just saying, mm-hmm. Rory, about embracing, surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like it's not about battling cancer. This is about you finding where you are in each moment.
Because you're not your diagnosis.
There you go.
You are not your it doesn't matter what your diagnosis is.
Right.
You are you, fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wow.
I love how you capture that, because that's exactly what life is. It's no matter what we're dealt with, it's about not being stuck at that present moment, not being stuck in the past, and just embracing it and understanding that it's just a moment.
Mm.
It's just the page. Mm. It's just the sentence. And keep it pushing.
So that means, my friend, as you've been listening to these two courageous folks, you and I have a choice to make. We can be defined by the circumstances we find ourselves in, or we can embrace the definition that was given to us when we were created.
Come on.
And that definition didn't come from you and I, did it?
No, sir.
Come on now.
It came from God in heaven.
Woo!
Folks, this is why we do what we do here. And with these kind people who have shared their story, Lakita, Rory Chirac, we're going to talk more with them in months ahead, I suspect.
Yes.
Great having you here. Thanks for being
Thank
our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So there you have it, my friend. Our very special 2022 Thanksgiving show, all just for you. And it is our pleasure, as always, to bring to you all of these various conversations that really mark the goodness that is Tallahassee. We hope your Thanksgiving week has been wonderful and that you'll continue in that spirit of thankfulness here on this weekend. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, streaming at moosemagnificat.com, Tallahassee's only all-local, all-original music station. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.